Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. You can also follow us on social media. Rob is at Rob Parker FS1 on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. Chris Broussard68 on the gram. Hey, we got Chris. Eric Mangini. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl championship coach in New England. Yes, FS1 NFL analyst. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. So look forward to that.
And if you're just joining us, it is Chris's birthday today. We wish him a very happy birthday. And yes, Chris, take your hat off for a second. I'm trying to see something.
Nah,
for your birthday to celebrate, did you not dye your hair today? Is that it for your birthday?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Wow.
All right. Well, Rob, let's go to the NFL. And there's a story brewing. Now, it's a lot of speculation right now, but, you know, there's some signs that something could be going on here. And what it is that Trevor Lawrence, the superstar quarterback for Clemson, and you are hearing scouts saying this guy is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. Some guys are saying he's a can't miss, which you rarely hear at the quarterback position. And so he looks like the obvious number one. Obviously, Justin Fields at Ohio State is playing well with the emergence of guys like Kyler Murray. You know, do somebody want Justin Fields? But it looks like Trevor is going to be the number one pick. And right now, I mean, there's some bad teams out there, but none worse than the New York Jets. And they have an 0-7 record, and right now they'd be the top pick. Now, Cincinnati obviously doesn't need a quarterback, but they got one win. Houston doesn't need a quarterback. They got one win. Jacksonville's got one win. The Giants, you know, they got Danny Dimes, but
I don't know about Danny Dimes, Chris. They got one win.
Yeah, right.
Are you sold on Danny Dimes?
Turning it over. No. I mean, I'm about as sold on him as I am on Darnold. You know what I mean? Like, they both have, at one point you thought maybe, okay, this is the guy, but they, as time's going on, they haven't gotten it done. Minnesota, 1-5. Atlanta, one win. So it's not a done deal that he would go to the Jets. But right now, they are clearly in the driver's seat because they actually look like they could go winless. We don't, you know, I'm not predicting it, but it certainly looks like a possibility.
I'm going to say, as somebody who covered that Lions team, Chris, who went 0-16, and I remember being on First Take with Skip, and they were like 0-7 or 0-8, and he just was like, no way are they going to go 0-16. And I said, Skip, I cover every game, man. This team is bad. I think the Jets have a real shot. If I had to predict right now, Chris, I think they go 0-16. That's how bad this team is.
Wow. Well, Trevor Lawrence thinks they're bad, too, if you read between the lines. Here's what he said when he was asked if he's definitely coming out into the draft next year. Remember, he's only a junior, so he doesn't have to come out. Here he is.
Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country or that's close to home or I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
All right. He also said he would, you know, wait, something to the effect of, you know, we'll wait and see how things play out and see what's going on. That says to me, you're waiting to see who gets that number one pick. And here's my thing, Rob. And he would not be the first guy to do this. And for some guys, this really worked out handsomely. Eli Manning didn't want to, you know, he's drafted by San Diego. He was saying before the draft, and once they picked him, I hope they trade me. I don't want to play here. He gets traded to the Giants, wins two Super Bowls. The rest is history. John Elway, drafted by Baltimore, Colts at that time, didn't want to play there. He gets traded to Denver, two Super Bowls, five trips to the Super Bowl. The rest is history. And there's a handful of other guys. Bo Jackson didn't spurn Tampa Bay. There's guys in basketball, Steve Francis, Danny Ferry, on and on and on. So it doesn't always work out. But
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, because
right. It doesn't always work out. Now, remember, this was the conversation a year ago, Rob. Well, not quite a year ago, but with Joe Burrow.
Yes, people were saying he shouldn't go to that organization and they stink and blah, 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 and all that other talk. And first of all, we thought that they were doing a disservice to the Bengals. And Chris, we get it. They didn't win a playoff game, right? But they went seven times.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like they weren't always in last place. So that was unfair. And they went to the Super Bowl twice, that organization. Lost to Joe Montana, right?
Their history's not nearly as bad as some other teams.
Exactly. Yeah. So sometimes I think people are a little quick. I just don't like it. I don't think that should even be out there. And I remember when Matt Leinart did it and he wanted to go back to USC. And you know what, Chris? I don't know. It didn't wound up not working out for him. Instead of being the first overall pick, he wound up being the 10th pick the next year. All you can do when you go back to college and if you play is they find more flaws in your game. You could potentially get hurt and you'll cost yourself some money. I mean, the thrill of being the first overall pick and to think that you know for sure, I don't care what insurance policy you take out and all this, it's not the same, and you should never do that. What if you're the guy who goes to New York and they draft you and they trade Sam Darnold and go pick up, Chris, some other good players, right?
Right.
And you win, and you're Broadway Joe, and you're the one who captures New York and becomes that quarterback and they win a Super Bowl and it's no longer talked about 1969 and Joe Namath. That's a wonderful thing to be out in front of. And so when guys do that and want to manipulate it, and I know what Eli did and those other guys,
right.
And that's fine, Chris, you know, but that's not to say that Eli doesn't know if he went to San Diego, maybe he would have won down there. You know, he could have won three times in San Diego. I don't know. But
no, I don't like it. I'm with you. I just think, here's the thing, too, about the Jets. You kind of brought it up about the Bengals. Okay, yeah, the Jets, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 69 with Joe Namath. And, yeah, they've been horrible for the most part. But they have had some runs, right?
With Rex Ryan.
But Rex Ryan, they were in the AFC Championship game a few times.
Twice.
Right.
Chris, and that wasn't 40 years ago.
Yep, exactly. Mangini had a nice year there, didn't he, with Favre. Parcells had, you know, with Vinny Testaverde.
They went
had a
to
nice
the AFC
run.
Championship game against Denver and lost.
Right.
Yes.
So it's not like they've been futile for 40 years. They've actually had some pretty good teams. That's number one. The other thing is, I am with you, Rob. Look, I'm not going to kill, Elway, Eli. It worked out for them. But you're right. Maybe it would have worked out in Baltimore for Elway. Yep. He was great. I mean, I'm sure he probably would have lifted that team to respectability, if not beyond that.
And, Chris, that organization, the Baltimore Colts, had a storied franchise history.
Right.
With
right.
Johnny
they
Unitas.
Were, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I just – my makeup – is you kind of play the cards you're dealt. And if I'm the best player in the country and I'm going to be the number one pick, I'm probably just looking at myself. I'm probably going to where I'm picked. And I would try to look at it like I'm going to turn this franchise around. I'm going to be the guy. And look, it's early, Rob, but look at Joe Burrow. The dude is running for his life every other time he drops back to throw the ball. But he's still lighting up the NFL and looks like he's going to be a star. Who's to say Trevor Lawrence can't do that? If he's as good as we think, he will do that.
And maybe Joe Burrow is the guy who finally wins them a playoff game after all that time when Marvin Lewis couldn't get it done, Chris. I mean, I just, you know, like that stuff, I don't understand, like believing in yourself. No matter what team you go to, Chris, they're normally going to be bad because that's why there's a draft. That's how it works out. So if it's not the Jets, then you're going to the Giants or you're going to some other bad team, right? That's how it works out. You're not going to the Green Bay Packers or to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you wouldn't want to go to the Kansas City Chiefs because there'd be no job for you, right?
Yep.
I don't get it.
Nah, you're right. Look, what was New England before Tom Brady turned him around with Belichick? I mean, they had been to one Super Bowl. Steve Grogan got beat. Like, they weren't any great franchise.
That's how you build your name, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. And I look, in fairness to Trevor Lawrence, we don't know what he's thinking. It's not just us. I mean, everybody, all over television, all over radio, they're speculating that he seems like he doesn't want to go to the Jets. So we're with the many. But in fairness to him, maybe that's not what he's thinking about. But I will say this, Rob, he's graduating this year. So what in the world is the incentive to go back? You won a national championship already.
I wouldn't do it. I'm with you, Chris. I just wouldn't do it. I think it's a big risk. There's no reason to do it. When I graduated college in three years, I was out, Chris.
He could do the, you know, I'm going to demand a trade or I'm not playing. You know what I mean? That type of thing. He doesn't seem like that guy. But, hey, did Eli seem like that guy? No. So
that was Eli's dad who had played in the league, though.
Well, because Archie knew New Orleans had ruined his career. They were so bad. But San Diego, you know, that wasn't a horrible franchise. But I agree with you that when you go back, now, you might be so good that you just have a tremendous season, but when you go back and play an extra year, they will over-scrutinize you, and they will pick out every little flaw in your game. We saw it, like you said, Matt Leinart. Yep. I remember in basketball, we saw it with Jay Williams at Duke, the point guard. You know, that's what they do if you give them an extra year to scrutinize you, because if you don't absolutely – Run roughshod over the nation, then they're going to be looking at you side-eyed. So, yeah, I hear you. And like I said, to me, there's some things the Jets can do too, though, Rob. They could get rid of Adam Gase.
Yeah, what if they get a new coach and a general manager and they get some guys with track records?
Yep.
And now change the scouting department, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah, I mean, they think he's the GM. They think he might be okay, but – get rid of Gase. Gase has shown you, and I'm not saying you got to do it this week, but he's shown you he's not much. All right.
No, I'm with you. If
you go get Eric Bieniemy, who has been the OC for Patrick Mahomes, you telling me that Trevor Lawrence isn't going to look at that and say, hey, that's pretty good, right? So I think the Jets have something to do with this too. If they continue to get rid of their best players in favor of keeping Adam Gase, then you give Lawrence more ammunition to think you don't know what the heck you're doing. But if you make some of the right moves, you can actually maybe impress the kid. All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We're throwing it out to you guys. Should Trevor Lawrence try to avoid getting drafted by the New York Jets? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Yes, indeed. It's The Odd Couple on a Worship Wednesday coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. We're also brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got free services that you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It's over 5,600 locations nationally for AutoZone, and they're here to help you save time and money with their free services. They get the job done, and they get it done much easier for you. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. All right, Rob, let's throw it out to the callers, 877-99 on Fox. Do you agree with Trevor Lawrence Or let's put it this way. Do you think he should do all he can to avoid the Jets, even if it means playing another year in school or forcing a trade or whatever it may take?
All right, let's kick it off with Jack in New York. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Jack?
Yeah, hey, guys. Rob, Chris, love the show. As a side point, before I get to my Trevor Lawrence point, Rob, if Tom Brady keeps doing what he's doing, I hope you got room on the Mexico boat because I'm coming with you. I can't take this guy anymore. He's got to retire.
That's all right. We got plenty of season left. We got plenty of season, Jack. Just hang in.
That's Rob's mantra. He's got nothing else to go to. But hey,
hang in.
Who knows?
Yeah. So about Trevor Lawrence, I'm a Jets fan. Listen, the Jets find ways to ruin the players that would succeed in other places. You're going to watch. Sam Darnold's going to go to the Colts or the Saints or another good franchise, and he's going to succeed. The Jets, the whole structure of the organization, the way the owner has control over the general manager and the coach. There's no normal hierarchy when it comes to the Jets. Trevor Lawrence should not want to come to the Jets. Take it from a Jets fan who suffered through all the years, the Sanchez and Pennington and Favre, Geno Smith. Trust me, Trevor Lawrence should not come to the Jets. And this is from a Jets fan. I would love to have Trevor Lawrence, but I don't want to ruin him. I feel bad for the kid. We're going to ruin him.
But don't forget, Mark Sanchez went to New England and beat Tom Brady and the Patriots.
I remember that.
Let's not act like
they were pretty decent in those years.
Yes.
That was only a 2-year stretch, Rob.
AFC Championship. Just go look up Mark Sanchez. He won 4 road playoff games. I'm not saying it was a championship, but that wasn't 100 years ago is what I'm saying.
We don't have the pieces around Trevor Lawrence.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying it didn't take – Rex Ryan was only in New York for like 4 or 5 years, Chris.
The pieces can't be the issue because, as Rob said, wherever he goes, he's not going to have pieces. That's
he's
why
gonna
the team's
be on
got
a bad
the number
team.
One pick.
That's why you're the first pick.
Right. So you got to look at the I get it, the organization and all that, but they have had some decent years. Mangini, they had a nice year.
Yes.
Ryan, they had 2 good years. Herm Edwards had a good year there, a few good years, actually. So
that's the thing is that you get clouded and, you become a prisoner of the moment. Like the Jets have been awful for 40 years.
Right.
That's what,
right.
That's
They've
how you
been
feel,
bad
Chris.
For a decade or, right? or mediocre to bad for a decade.
Right. And yet the Cowboys get all the pub and the Cowboys got 4 playoff wins in 25 years.
Right.
The Jets have more than that.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Right. JoJo in Mississippi, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, JoJo?
Okay, first thing I want to say is happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it.
That's right, 62 today. Beautiful. I mean, 52, I'm sorry.
Oh, man, I thought he was 30, man. My bad.
Hey, there you go, my man. Call anytime.
First thing I want to say, man, I feel like if you're that guy and you're supposed to be the man, it shouldn't matter where you go. You go there and make a difference.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to feel
that
way.
Make a difference. You know what I'm saying? He'd be like LeBron when he went to Cleveland, man. No, Cleveland wasn't nothing before LeBron got that, and he made a difference. And I think the NFL players should take the same approach the NBA players take.
Look, Rob, we said it. New England won 5 games the year before Brady took over. 5 games under Belichick. So you got to turn it around.
Don't you remember how bad the Celtics were before Larry Bird showed up, Chris?
Yep.
Do you remember they lost?
They won 29 games.
They were terrible
before he got there. He took them to 61, I believe. Nah, the Bulls. We talk about it all the time with Michael Jordan. And we get it. Basketball is a little different, but still, be that guy. Be that guy.
Right. Let's see. Who else do we have? I'm sorry. Evan in Indiana. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Evan?
Hey, not much. Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you, my man.
I got a couple things about Trevor Lawrence. One's about Trevor Lawrence, one's about the Jets. One, if he wants to be a hero and go to the big city in New York and make the biggest out of an opportunity, if he can get that franchise to a championship, I think it would go a long way with his career and how people will think of him in the end. If he wants a little bit of an easier way out, he could always try to do the request to trade. I don't think he's going back to college. I don't think he wants to risk that. Second thing, with the Jets, do you think that Bill Belichick is going to let them get the first pick? Or is I could see with them being in the same division, with them being in the same division, I could see Belichick, if he has a chance to lose a game to the Jets, to keep them from getting that first pick. Maybe letting something kind of slide through there.
Well, the problem is the Patriots have already won two. So I don't know if the Jets can stumble into two wins. They might be able to stumble into one win.
I'm not, like I've said, I'm already saying I don't think they're going to win a game.
Yeah, they look horrible. And here's the thing about your first comment. You're right, and Rob and I both have been journalists in New York City. Everything in New York is magnified.
Yes.
If Trevor Lawrence wins a championship, a Super Bowl with the Jets, come on. I mean, he is a legend. Look, Joe Namath, if you look at Joe Namath's numbers, and I don't even
they're not that great.
Yeah, we know the numbers back then don't equal what they did today. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about his numbers in relation to other guys of that era. They're not spectacular, but he led the Jets to the champ, to the Super Bowl. And against, he is a Hall of Famer, legend, all that.
Yes, against the Baltimore Colts, who were double-digit favorites in that Super Bowl,
yep.
And the Jets won. And here's the thing. Rob G looked it up for me, Chris. Here's what I was talking about. In the last 25 years, the Cowboys have 4 playoff wins. The Jets have 7. Now, you wouldn't even – am I right? Think about that. I'm not trying to –
I tell you what, Rod, you see Dallas is starting to trade or release guys.
Right.
So they may be going for Trevor Lawrence, too. And we'll get to that with our man, Eric Mangini. He's on the line right now. Perfect guy to talk to. Eric, what's up, brother? Welcome to the Odd Couple.
We're not trending?
How are you guys doing? I heard Rob yelling and screaming, so I see nothing changed.
No, it's the same. Hey, Eric,
still the Odd Couple.
Eric,
sure.
I was just telling Chris, are you ready for this? In the last 25 years, the Cowboys have 4 playoff wins. The Jets have 7. You would never believe that. And the Jets have 4 road playoff wins in that.
Okay.
No, but
well,
if you would have.
Our point was this. This is what we were talking to give you the context.
Yes.
We're talking about Trevor Lawrence, and obviously. Everybody's speculating that maybe he doesn't want to go to the Jets. He's talking about, you know, he's not sure what he's going to do. Does he want to stay another year? You, as a guy that you coached the Jets, you've been in that organization, you led them to the playoffs. What would you say to a guy, you know, if he's really having doubts about playing for that organization, what would you say to him one way or the other, positive or negative, to tell him about, you know, playing for the Jets?
Well, first of all, I think if a guy's having doubts about taking on that responsibility of being the top draft pick and changing the franchise, then he's probably not the right guy to do that. I was looking at other franchise quarterbacks. I looked at Tom Brady, Roethlisberger, Dan Marino, John Elway. And when you look at it, those guys have like 2 losing seasons out of either 16 seasons or 17 seasons. And a franchise quarterback makes coaches look smarter. A franchise quarterback makes organizations look a lot more competent. And if a guy's not willing to go to an organization that's struggling with the confidence that he can change it, then he's probably not the right guy, and he's probably not truly a franchise quarterback.
Now, I agree with you. But we did see Elway and Eli do it, too.
And
remember Elway? You go ahead.
Yeah, that helps. But it's just we look at it and say, you know, the organization is completely going to shape the guy. But oftentimes the guy changes the trajectory of the organization and changes a lot of coaches' careers. I mean, Tom Brady has had no losing seasons. And the marriage of Tom and Bill – it's pretty obvious how that affected both of them. Bill had 1 winning season in 6 years as a head coach prior to Tom Brady.
Right.
Enter Tom Brady and a really good coach, and suddenly you have unprecedented success.
Speaking of New England, let's go there. What's happened with Cam? He got off to a good start. The Patriots got off to a good start. They should have beat Seattle. They were stopped at the 1-yard line. They didn't win that game, but the last 2 weeks, he looked terrible, Eric. No touchdowns, 5 picks. What's going on there?
Yeah, look, Robert, nobody was more skeptical of the marriage between Cam and the Patriots than I was. I didn't even know if he'd end up making the team. And then I saw the first game that he played, and there was a ton of quarterback-driven runs. And he ran the ball 17 times, which I think was the second highest of his career. And it's hard to defend. It's a lot what you get in Baltimore, and that created a ton of opportunities in the passing game. So he comes back the next week, and he has a really good game throwing the ball. And that was exciting to see, too, because I wasn't sure what his accuracy was going to look like if he had to throw the ball a lot coming off that injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the COVID comes into play. How much that's affected his performance, you know, since he was diagnosed with that, you could argue that's had an effect, and maybe it's had a significant effect. But I'd say the biggest thing that can happen, especially, I'm sure, if you're Cam Newton and you're the MVP at one point, you've had a ton of success, you're inheriting this organization that has tremendous success from an all-time great player, there's a lot of pressure. There's personal pressure, there's outside pressure, and you can end up trying to do things to create plays that end up being incredibly detrimental. And you heard that in the way that he spoke this week, where he says, I'm pressing too much. So that may be a component with it from his performance.
Eric, you mentioned early on about Belichick and Brady, and look, both of them obviously deserve a ton of credit. They both might be the greatest at their relative jobs and positions. But you said it. Belichick had one winning season in 6 years as a head coach before Brady, and with Drew Bledsoe for one of those years, who wasn't chopped liver. And then he's got one playoff appearance in 7 years without Brady. Brady goes to Tampa Bay. It's early still, kind of, but you see what he's doing there, and you see what New England is. Is this making the case more? No, I've always said if I have to give one more credit, I'm giving it to Brady, as great as Belichick is. Is this making that case more clear cut?
Well, it's early, and this whole conversation has swung dramatically, because early on in the season, when Cam was lighting it up and Brady hit
yes.
a few speed bumps, everybody was talking about the other way. It's like, obviously, Brady can't do it without Bill. There's a synergy between those two guys. And you know, Tom was a sixth-round draft pick who wasn't very good his first year. We carried four quarterbacks. He was developed. That early development, you could say, and the lessons that he learned and the work ethic and all those things, you could say, helped create his longevity. Now, we're not going to know the answer to this question for at least to the end of this year and probably for a few years moving forward. Right now it's advantage Brady, but this could swing back and forth, you know, week to week. This is a little bit like the stock market. It's up and down weekly.
help me with Aaron Rodgers had the bad day at the office down in Tampa. They go to Houston and the Texans jump on them 21-0. And what have you seen from Aaron Rodgers this year that's different from maybe the last year or so, if there's anything?
You know, Rob, people love to kill Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is really, really good. Aaron Rodgers last year, and look, there's an argument you can make for, you know, which comes first, the quarterback or the coach, because he's dealing with a rookie coach last season, and they had the success that they had.
Right.
And it's not to take away from the head coach, but I've been a rookie head coach. There's a ton of stuff you have to learn and a ton of mistakes that you made. And a quarterback of his stature and experience, I'm sure, helped smooth over a lot of those mistakes that were made. And he makes a point that when he makes it, people look at him and say he's arrogant, because most people don't say the things he says. But his bad day is better than a lot of quarterbacks' really good day. Now, we're not accustomed to hearing guys say that, and
right.
frankly, you know, I don't think you need to say that. But it's true, and he's I don't see any real drop off. He did have a bad day, and as uncharacteristic a day as we've
picks.
Seen in a while. Yeah, that's not really. But again, the bar is so high that when he has a bad day, it's like the sky is falling. But it's just because he's been so good, so long, so consistently.
Former NFL coach Eric Mangini joining the I
Couple. You mean Eric Mangenius.
David
Carr. Finally, Rob.
And he got that name coaching the Jets.
The Jets.
Remember that, right. Trevor Lawrence? He got it coaching the Jets.
David
Rob,
Carr.
Are you trying to talk Trevor Lawrence out of going to New York? Is that your?
No, I'm
your
not. I think he's making a mistake. If you're blessed enough to be the first overall pick, you should embrace it and go wherever you go. And you know what, Eric, as you know, most of the teams you're going to go to are bad. That's why you're the first overall pick. Like, you're not going to a team that won the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, without a doubt. And to whom much is given, and when you're the number one overall pick, much is given, much is expected. And
right.
You're expected to come in and be able to change what's happened. Otherwise, you wouldn't be picked number one overall. You'd be picked, you know, somewhere way down the line.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the iCouple, Chris and Rob, on a Worship Wednesday, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And it is time, folks, for Shop Talk.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Yes, sir, it is Shop Talk, the iCouple Fox Sports Radio segment where we discuss something that happened outside of the world of sports. And today's topic comes to us courtesy of the Kardashian clan. I don't know if you guys heard about this. It was trending pretty hard over the week and got a lot of nice memes out of it. But let me give you a quick background. So Kim Kardashian hosted about 50 of her closest family and friends for a vacation on a private island. And she put this really long, drawn-out thread on Twitter discussing how happy she was it was able to come together. A lot of bikini pictures as well. But this is the quote that kind of got everybody hot and bothered. Here's what she said. After 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we could pretend things were normal just for a brief moment in time. Now, obviously, she got dragged profusely on social media. So here's the question, guys. Number one, do you think it was tone deaf of her to brag about, you know, being able to rent out a private island for 50 people during the pandemic? And number two, do you think she should have to apologize for being rich?
Well, she shouldn't have to apologize.
Because this is normal to her. Right. This is normal to her.
She shouldn't have to apologize for
but
being rich.
But there is, you just said it, like you're tone deaf to what's going on in the country. Like,
right.
And what's happening to most people. There's a time and a place for everything. If everything was going great and everybody was healthy, you know what I mean, and the people were working and money was flowing. I remember during the early Bill Clinton years, Chris, there was nothing but money. Am I right? Everybody was doing great. I'm telling you. I used to go to my mailbox every day and pick up a check because I was working so much.
Well,
but those times aren't here. And it does seem like you're rubbing it in the face of most people who are struggling.
Yeah, and I just think, look, you're right. For her hanging out with that crew and on islands, I guess that's normal to some degree. My thing is, you don't have to put it out there. Go to the island, pay for your 50 friends.
Enjoy it.
And granted, maybe one of them will put it out or somehow it gets out. But, you know, I think there's a part of her that wanted to throw that out there for, you know, she obviously thought she was going to get a lot of praise and a lot of love, but it's an addiction to the attention. It's an addiction to the spotlight. And you, nobody would have been that mad if you just done it, gone there, y'all relax, you have a good time and all that. But of course, no, you want to take pictures, show who you hanging out with, throw it all up on social media. And you know, I don't know that she was throwing it in people's face. I don't think that was the intent. But I think the intent was to be like, look at me. Look, you know, just narcissism. Like, I need that spotlight. Look at my great life. And people ain't trying to see that right now.
I mean, Chris was smart for his big birthday bash that I wasn't invited to. He didn't even have the nerve to put it on social media. You know what I'm saying, Rob G?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the pictures, I was like, this is very Rob Parker of her. Because, you know, when Rob was in Arlington, every single person that he was semi-famous, hey, what's up? I'm here with so-and-so. Wow. Me and Scott Miller breaking bread. Here's a steak dinner. All you peasants can't afford it. By the way, I got wings and ribs today. Hashtag blessed. Rob Parker.
Hashtag blessed.
Those
I
ribs were good,
from
though.
The DJ Alex Tyshon. I know he's got something CB, astute to say about
it. You know, it's just fascinating to me to see the levels that we take and the excrements we put behind it. For example, they live in a different league than most people will ever get to, so this is normality for them. But they still do the simplistic things we do as human beings, which is being accepted, being appreciated, and at the same time getting subtly addicted to the notion of being out there and showing the life we live. It's a hard thing to fathom when you're in a different bracket of, you could say, lifestyle. But to do this, dude, it's a bad look for them. They keep showing why people should not look up to them the way they do. I didn't like it, dude. Not a good look.
But I don't know if in fairness to them is right, but this is how they got rich.
That's why I said it was ourselves.
A video that I can't stop watching.
Well, that's a different subject.
Keep it locked.